Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's 30-minute episode is about a growing problem which may be invisible to you or your partner, but it's a big one: cell phone addiction. I've seen this in my work a lot, especially with couples where there are persistent complaints about one person's cell phone use. Another partner feels dissed in favor of the other one's cell phone, or it's very obvious that the use of the cell phone becomes a distancing mechanism. So one person is looking down at their phone, not making eye contact. And I cannot tell you how many hours this has been a central complaint in my work with couples. So it's something that there's growing recognition about as a problem, not only in relationships, but in many other ways. Now, before we proceed, if you have a question or comment, dial 1 on your phone, and I'll bring you onto the air pretty soon. I'll probably take questions if there are any midway through the program, and this is a half-an-hour show. The recent explosion of iPhones, Androids, and other smartphones has provided people with the ability to access all of the Internet on the go 24/7. Apparently, 90% of adults in America own a cell phone. And, you know, while this may not be a problem for many people, some people develop an addiction to their mobile devices. Cell phones are constantly being improved with updates and expanded functions, which in turn increase the likelihood of overuse and addiction, kind of an endless cycle. According to one major research center, 67% of smartphone owners have admitted to checking their phones or call messages when their phones didn't vibrate or ring. This is one major sign of cell phone dependence and should serve as a warning to cell phone owners. Now, if you've wondered about your own use or that of a loved one, here are some signs and symptoms considered criteria for cell phone addiction. And I would say look for 4 or more of these to see if you or anyone you care about may be addicted. 1, a preoccupation with smartphone use. So it's really central in your mind. 2, a need to use the cell phone more and more often in order to achieve the same desired effect. So that's kind of a tolerance issue, the way people who have an addiction or dependency on alcohol need more and more to drink, or on drugs, they need more and more drugs to achieve the same effect. It's a tolerance issue. 3, excessive use characterized by a loss of a sense of time. So if you go into kind of a reverie or a trance around the cell phone and you're late for things, you don't realize how much time has been spent, that's a danger sign. Turning to the phone when experiencing unwanted feelings such as sadness, anxiety, or depression, where the phone becomes a kind of medication, that is a major, major warning sign. It seems to soothe or medicate all that ails you. It's the coping strategy. Persistent failed attempts to use the cell phone less frequently. So if there's been a sense of, I've really tried, but I'm just out of control, it's kind of running me, that is not a good sign. And then finally, putting a relationship or a job at risk due to excessive cell phone use. Actually, not finally. Unfortunately, there's a few more. Another tolerance issue is tolerance. Needing the newest version, more applications, or increased use. We've all seen footage of people lining up in the middle of the night to get the latest iPhone, people obsessed with it, people spending every last dollar on the latest applications, the latest edition of it, where it becomes paramount importance. And withdrawal when a cell phone or network is unreachable. If you notice yourself feeling a lot of anger or tension, depression, irritability, or restlessness, it's not a good sign. So in other words, you are joined at the hip to your cell phone, and without it, you really feel weirded out. Now, so what's the big deal, you may be asking? If you are addicted, what are the effects of addiction? There are many. First of all, there are a whole host of physical effects of addiction. You may be very surprised by some of these. Overuse of your cell phone or smartphone can result in a number of different physical problems that may cause permanent damage or be difficult to treat, including digital eye strain. We're all familiar with that. It's the pain and discomfort associated with viewing a digital screen for over 2 hours, where eyes may begin to burn and itch. There's clearly eye fatigue. Sometimes there's blurred vision. Digital eye strain can also cause headaches. Many people are not aware of that. So that's something to be aware of. Neck problems. There's actually a new word for it. It's called text neck, which refers to neck pain resulting from looking down at a cell phone or tablet for too long. I recently saw a commercial where they have a special device raising the phone up so that your head won't be looking down at it so long, especially in certain work-related situations, like people who may work at home and they're on their phone. There are increased illnesses due to germs. Now, this maybe gross you out, but you need to know this. 1 in 6 cell phones has fecal matter on it. Yes, fecal matter on it. Don't even ask me how that got there, but 1 in 6 that have been tested. E. coli bacteria, which can cause fever, vomiting, and diarrhea, is found on many phones. E. coli. Phones, and this was surprising to me to learn, but phones have been found to be contaminated with MRSA. You know, that's that deadly virus we hear about in hospitals, why you should at all costs try to stay out of the hospital if you can. But MRSA, which causes painful abscesses, life-threatening infections in bones, joints, surgical wounds, bloodstream, heart valves, and lungs. So MRSA, the phone is a source of contamination, a source of transmission of contamination. And then there's one that most of us, unless you've been living under a rock, most of us are aware of, car accidents. Unfortunately, many people believe that they can multitask and use their phones while driving. But this causes significant impairment and puts the driver and all others on the road in danger. Actually, research has revealed that texting and driving can be just as dangerous as drinking and driving. And I'm sure most of you out there have heard the horrible news about some of the horrific accidents. Thankfully, in more states, it's becoming outlawed, texting. And another surprising physical result of addiction can be male infertility. Preliminary studies have revealed that cell phone radiation may actually decrease sperm count and affect sperm motility and viability. So if you're trying to get pregnant, you might want to notice how much time you're spending on your phone, okay? Now, that's just the physical side of things. What are the psychological effects of cell phone addiction? Sleep disturbances is a major one. Cell phone addiction has been linked to an increase in sleep disorders and to fatigue in users. We know that using your cell phone before bed increases the likelihood of insomnia. The bright light emitted from the phone may actually decrease sleep quality. Smartphone use could increase the amount of time it takes to fall asleep. We know that the blue light emitted from cell phones may activate the brain. And that's not just from, it's from devices in general. That's why there are more devices that are like Kindles that have sepia tones. They have blue shade. They call it blue shade, so that you are not, you're not exposing your brain and yourself to that intense blue light that inhibits sleep. Another psychological effect is depression, and I did not access studies about, you know, what they think the link is, why depression, but my theory is that, you know, increased cell phone usage, abnormal cell phone usage really decreases actual face-to-face contact with people. It promotes more isolation, you know, living in a kind of in a digital world, you're not engaging with people, you're not engaging with nature, you're not getting out, so you're more likely to be depressed. Whether studies confirm that, I don't know. Obsessive-compulsive disorder, and that one's kind of an obvious one. You know, cell phone addiction involves increased thinking about and use of, you know, it's on your mind more, you're tracking it, you're following it, you're having to be with it all the time, having to use it. So it's ripe for OCD. And people with OCD, I'm sure studies have found that people with OCD are probably, they're probably guilty of more problematic cell phone use often. And then one, an obvious one that I see in my work all the time, relationship problems, where offline relationships may suffer as a result of neglect in favor of excessive cell phone and social media use. I see this with couples a lot, where one spouse feels in competition with the phone as the preferred partner. I've heard often this is husbands. I don't know if this is typical, but husbands complaining that their wives spend an average of four hours at the end of the day on their phone, on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, posting, reading, texting on their phones, but an excessive amount of use, disengaging, but engaging in the digital world. So it is not good for relationships. And we've all seen people in a restaurant where, you know, there's four people at a table and all four of them are looking down at the phone and they're not having a conversation with each other. So it affects relationships because you are not present for the person right in front of you when you're having an exchange with somebody in the digital world. Anxiety is another psychological effect. Research has found that college students who use their cell phones the most are more likely to feel anxious during downtime. I would imagine that also relates to all the information they access, you know, maybe their grades or postings of a test or et cetera, but they've definitely measured that. And teens deprived of their phones in studies have shown significant signs of anxiety and depression. I saw a program on TV several months ago about a group of, it was actually preteens who were deprived of their phones, and they showed signs of a major depressive episode, total meltdowns. So I've also talked to clients who report their teens showing more, it looks like, oppositional defiant disorder. That seems to be exacerbated by cell phone, not only cell phone use, but the use of video games, all kinds of digital devices, but especially cell phones, and where often they don't want to leave the house on a weekend. Parents are beside themselves. They don't know what to do because their teen has lost all interest in outside relationships, in doing anything outside, anything physical or related to the nature. So it's a very, very big problem. Okay, now if you have a question, there are several people who are here in the studio. If you have a question, this would be a good time to pose it because we're about midway through the program and I have a lot more to cover. No? Okay. You can still dial one on your phone later on, and if I have time, I'll take a question or a comment. So, are you addicted to your cell phone? Here's a good test I found from psychguides.com. It's not meant to officially diagnose your use, but to help you see if you have a problem requiring the attention of your doctor or a psychotherapist for possible treatment. Do you mindlessly pass time on a regular basis by staring at your smartphone, even though there might be better or more productive things to do? All right, that's one to ask yourself. Do you seem to lose track of time when on your cell phone? Do you find yourself spending more time texting, tweeting, or emailing than talking to real-time people? Has the amount of time you spend on your cell phone been increasing? So do you need more and more and more of it? Do you ever wish you could be a little less connected to it? Do you sleep with your phone on or under your pillow or next to your bed regularly? So are you and your phone kind of inseparable? Do you find yourself viewing and answering texts, tweets, and emails at all hours of the day and night, even when it means interrupting other things you are doing? Do you text, email, tweet, or surf the internet while driving or doing other similar activities that require your focused attention and concentration? So that question really measures the level of risk you are willing to put yourself and other people at in order to be on that phone. Do you feel your use of your cell phone actually decreases your productivity at times? Do you feel reluctant to be without your smartphone, even for a short time? So this would be the same as needing to go to bed with it, needing to have it with you all the time. Do you feel ill at ease or uncomfortable when you accidentally leave your phone in the car or at home, or you have no service, or it's broken? I've seen people have major meltdowns over that. When you eat meals, is your cell phone your constant companion? So it's you and the cell phone, or you and whomever you think you're with, but your cell phone is really the companion. When your phone rings or vibrates, do you feel an intense urge to check for texts, tweets, or emails or updates, etc.? So in other words, is it driving you? Is it running you? Do you find yourself mindlessly checking your phone many times a day, even when you know there is likely nothing new or important to see? So hopefully you will give yourself that kind of self-evaluation and get a sense as to whether or not you have a problem, whether it's a dependency or an addiction. Now, here are some steps to cope with cell phone addiction. If you feel that you have a problem at this point in the program, you've determined you have a problem, there are some things that you can do. One, as with any addiction, track it. Track your cell phone use. Yes, it's not fun to do. It's a pain. But the more you keep track of the time you spend messaging or talking on your phone, the better you'll be able to control it. So note when you're on the phone doing what. Keep the journal for a week's time, then review the amounts of time you're spending on each activity. All addiction recovery starts with consciousness. When I meet with couples where there's a big showdown between a couple or a big conflict about whether one person has a drinking or drug problem, instead of going along with the fight, I encourage the person who's being accused to start tracking it, policing it themselves, so that you can become conscious of it. How can you change anything without consciousness? All right, another thing you can do is to start weaning yourself from excessive use. Now that you know how many hours a week you spend on your phone, start cutting back. Take it slowly. And I would recommend that you start with the least important activity you use your phone for. Then commit to reducing the time you spent on that phone activity to just maybe 5 to 10% the first week. So it's just a little bit of cutback. It's kind of like if you're going off ice cream, don't have it every night. Start a little bit at a time and you'll be more likely to regulate it. Now, this means being more conscious each time you're using the phone for that activity. Decrease usage by a bit more each week. So if you're taking it out of the realm of unconscious and just being in a trance and becoming more conscious and intentional around it. Commit to being present in the moment. One of the reasons people use their cell phones as much as they do is it's really to be with another person elsewhere. The rationale behind it is that it's around connection. And that's fine, when you're waiting in lines, but it's less acceptable when your significant other or friend is trying to have a conversation with you. So commit to turning the cell phone off, or at least putting it away out of sight when you're engaged in a face-to-face conversation with another person. It's not only helpful to deal with your addiction, it's more respectful and relational, and it will improve your in-person contacts. I know somebody who has an actual box that he and his wife use, and it's called cell phone free time. And they have an agreement, and they're very intentional about when they're going to put the phones in the box off, and that's going to be face-to-face contact, and they're actually going to have a face-to-face conversation instead. So they've kind of negotiated that, and I think it works very well for them. Another thing you can do is to reevaluate the kind of connections you have. Now, for what purpose do you think you need such intense connectivity all the time? What we know is that quality social work and romantic relationships aren't built on constant exchanges with one another. It's enmeshed. It's symbiotic. And while Twitter, Facebook, and text, they may be fun for a while, they may only lead to pressures around entanglement, creating anxiety and dependency around pseudo-closeness. One thing we know about the connections that people think they're making on Facebook is that there's now a new, I don't know if it's an official diagnosis, but they call it Facebook envy, where there's an illusion that everyone else is having more fun and doing more fabulous things, and I'm the odd person out. So be mindful that relationships require, they don't require constant connectivity. They actually require a little bit of appropriate space. Now, here's a big one. Take a look at your sense of self-importance. Remember, you're not the leader of the free world. And if it's that important, someone will call you, okay? So I would encourage you to examine any grandiosity that may drive this. Just turn the phone off. There's nothing you need to do in the middle of the night that the cell phone will alert you to that won't be there in the morning, unless, of course, you're the leader of the free world. If you're the president, then you might want to keep your cell phone nearby. By turning the phone off and putting it away, you're taking back, you're actually taking back conscious control of your life and this little piece of technology. You're saying, I'm going to use you. You are not going to run me. I'm going to use you in a conscious, intentional way. So I would recommend setting a deadline every evening for time to put the phone away, and then don't check or use it again until the next morning. This may create some anxiety initially, but over time, I think you will actually get used to having more of a life outside the phone. Also, think about this. Technology works for us, not the other way around. So if technology is taking control of your life by creating stress, anxiety, arguments with other people in your life, or financial hardships, then you have a backwards relationship with technology. Technology is supposed to work for us. If you're a slave to it, as some experts agree, you've chosen to be on the losing side of the relationship, and it's time to set some limits. Set aside specific times of the day or evening you will use your cell phone, for instance, rather than checking it every moment you get. Your relationship with your phone doesn't have to destroy your life. And if these tips still don't help, it might be a sign that cell phone addiction is more of an issue for you than you realized. If, for instance, you cannot manage your phone use on your own, I would recommend that you contact a psychotherapist who has experience in treating addictions, and that's important, somebody who understands addictions, not a generalist. Call your doctor if you're showing any of the physical symptoms I've described previously, because a lot of those physical symptoms are very serious. And if you or a loved one is concerned about cell phone behavior, you can also always call the local addiction hotline in your state to learn more about the treatment options available to you. There, if you just Google cell phone addiction, cell phone dependency, I'm sure you will find a local hotline, and they will connect you with the appropriate professionals in the area. Okay? So we're right at the end of our program. I hope this episode has been informational and useful, and you're thinking about this rather than scrambling to get back on your phone. I really hope that's the case, okay? And you're being, it's raised your consciousness about this, and there's some thought involved. Thanks for tuning in. And if you'd like a consultation with me about this or another issue, feel free to call my voicemail at 431-603-431-7131. I'd be happy to talk with you. Now, my next episode will be on Wednesday, July 8th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'll be announcing the topic and guest once I decide. So good night, everyone, and I hope you have a good rest of the spring. Summer's coming at the time of this airing. Summer's right around the corner, and limit your phone. Take care. Bye-bye.